Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I didn't want nobody else. I wanted the Bears. I'd rather play the Bears first.
I definitely wanted to play the Bears. We get a chance to put the Bears season to bed.
Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby.
I'm not saying we're going to go out there and play dirty or nothing like that, but we definitely going to defend our brothers.
We are not going to be done, so I will see you guys next week.
We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town.
There's probably a little bit more noise coming out of their building up north, which we heard loud and clear.
Where did these be at when they said they're doing all this now?
In the pocket, fires, touchdown! Olamide Zaccheaus into the end zone.
Do you feel the shaking a little bit?
I do. I've got 31 games in the stadium. It's the first time I feel it shaking like this. I mean, I covered an earthquake in San Francisco, but this has nothing to do with an earthquake.
There was a lot of talking this week. You know what I mean? Like, and not even just today, like throughout the week, like we heard the noise and all the guys talking. Man, just a hell of a win for the city.
Williams throwing, and it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Forget about the clock. Just take the lead when you can. 31-27 here. It's a tale of two cities and a tale of two halves. Who could have figured this at halftime?
This is absolutely unbelievable.
The Bears have erased an 18-point deficit.
Oh, yeah, they was talking. They was begging. I mean, that was all bulletin material, really. That didn't motivate us, but it kind of, you know, when they were talking, it kind of like, all right, we got to turn it up. So.
Hearts beating furiously. Look, looking. One last gasp. Moving guys around. Fires to the end zone, and it is broken up. The Bears win it in a crazy one.
They wanted us. That's what I heard. They wanted in. They got it.
And the Chicago Bears have advanced 31-27. Another gut-wrenching loss for the Packers in Chicago. My goodness.
Cheese grater.
This is what rivalries are made of.
That's it.
Obviously, this one is going to hurt for a really, really long time.
I know that they at the crib going crazy down bad. What they had didn't last, damn, baby. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
This is one that you'll never forget.
Yes, sir.
This is one you'll never forget, all right?
An unbelievable way for the Packers to end the season again. So disappointing.
Good, better, bad.
Good, better, bad.
Never let it rain.
Never let it rain.
It's going to get better.
It's going to get better.
It better get better.
It better get better.
Three,
one, two, three,
Bears! I'm tired. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep. The Bears. Thank you, everybody.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
If you're just jumping into your car, you're leaving work with a smile on your face. If you're sitting in your cubicle with a smile on your face. If you're sitting at the crib with the kids with a smile on your face. We are happy that we were your choice to share that smile with today. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got you for another hour. There's still a lot for us to discuss. The show has already been off the rails today. Freddie Gibbs, so dope to have him on the show. And for those of you who are not familiar, I didn't mention this to Freddie because I didn't want to seem like a stan, but Skinny Shug off of the Alfredo album, Alchemist, my God, he produced the hell out of that album. And that is one of my like vibe setters. It is one of the songs that I go to set the vibe if I just want to be in ridiculous chill mode. The fact that Freddie Gibbs was on the show today is wild.
Right? That's awesome. I love that for you and for Tanny. And for all the listeners.
And for Alex that did the work.
Absolutely.
Man. Big time. That's big time stuff, Alex.
But I know how much you guys were feeling it and so many of the listeners feeling it today. A texter said, this show today, every segment has been a different perspective. The game, Bears fans, Packers broadcast, the feel and vibe with Freddie on who was there, the national broadcast. Very nice job by the show. Glad you're feeling that. It's the way we try to think about it, is to give you a different taste, like in every segment, if we can, on how was. And right now we want to focus on Caleb Williams's excellence because the quarterback is so damn clutch, and you can look at the numbers, but trust yourself when you watch the game. We're going to focus on one big play in a second, But go back and watch the second half if you want, if you haven't. I did on Sunday morning, and it was so much fun.
11 explosive plays in the fourth quarter, the most ever in an NFL playoff game.
I think that's the whole second half. Actually, the
second half,
but either way,
sorry, second half,
it's all good. But like, yeah, the number of explosives is insane. But Lawrence, for us and for the listeners who've broken down every decision and being like, well, on this one, Caleb, I wish he would just take the check down. Or on this one, why can't he just move a little bit and throw off a new platform instead of doing this? Why doesn't he just take the free cheese, take the 6 yards, take the 7 yards? Why doesn't he scramble for the first down? He did every one of those things at a different time. Literally, I have them all written down. Each play, he did every one of those things amongst those three different touchdown drives that were 2.5 minutes at most. And he led three different drives, and you see him shuffle to his right, great touch to Loveland. You see a bullet to Loveland. You see another touch pass to Loveland. You see him take six to Smythe. No negative plays from Caleb Williams. A scramble for 11 on a swift screen that he has to decide to reverse. Caleb is out there trying to block. You see Caleb shuffle to his left and hit Rome Odunze, who's on the ground with a great ball. Loveland for 7. And then here you are, 4th and 8. 4th and 8 after a Drew Dahlman false start that actually saves them, because if it had just been a bad snap and not a bad snap and a false start, the game is over. But it's 4th and 8. And Caleb Williams, when you're down 11, needs to make a play. And this is what it sounded like on Amazon Prime.
So it's 4th down and 8. As we get to the Green Bay 49, Williams chased, throws, and it's caught at the 30-yard line. Rome Odunze on a 4th and 8. Keeps it going.
I mean, are you kidding me? This is why when Caleb Williams was coming out of USC, it was plays like this that made everybody go, this guy is just one of one as far as his abilities. Think about what's at stake. It's 4th down. Game is over, and he throws it up and over the defender right into the hands of Odunze. Odunze, by the way, came all the way from the right side. He had a line from the right side, came all the way over. Saw his quarterback scrambling, gave him the hand to say, hey, I'm going over here. And the two have that chemistry, and they connect on that big play. Keeps their hopes alive.
It's too bad, Tanny, you didn't roll on Wayne Larrivee and John Kuhn on the Packers broadcast.
Wait a minute. You did?
Oh.
4th and 8 out of the shotgun. Here's the snap. Back to throw. Looking. Still looking. Williams scrambling left. Throws it down the left side. And he's got Rome Odunze all down 30-yard line of Green Bay between 3 Packers defenders, Nixon, McKinney, and Quay Walker. Wow. A 4th down bailout of 27 yards.
And that's the thing about Caleb Williams. We've seen him miss throws, but he was getting hit by Isaiah McDuffie, and he threaded the needle on that one.
Yeah, he did.
When you talk about the Chicago Bears on offense, Caleb Williams, he had a 4th down and 8 throw, getting hit, put it on the money in the corner. That throw is just a 1 in 100, and he made it right there. So credit to Caleb Williams for making that play to just extend the game, not just win the football game. And unfortunate for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, very unfortunate. What a way to end the season.
These cuts are just curiously edited.
Very unfortunate for you guys, maybe.
I love that Caleb is now, like, they've made him a meme, the Jumpman meme.
Oh, it looks just like Jordan.
Yes.
If you pause it in a moment, it looks just like the Jordan Jumpman.
That's Chicagoing, too.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Here's the thing. Both his feet are off the ground when that ball leaves his hand.
You're not supposed to be able to generate that type of power or touch.
You know what it reminds
me of? When your feet aren't on the ground.
Both feet. It's like a Frank Thomas home run swing. When the feet were not touching the ground, you're like, how is Frank getting that power? That is not possible. Caleb is not supposed to be able to make that throw. Unbelievable.
But he keeps making them.
Because he's got something very special about him. That's an incredible ball. Here's Caleb talking about that play. That's all right. And here's the thing. Here's DJ Moore while we think about this. Here's DJ Moore talking about Caleb late in games, what DJ believes.
What do you say about the way Caleb comes through in the clutch again, especially like the throw to you, the throw to Rome where he's out of bounds?
I mean, shoot, when the lights are bright, he's brighter than them lights out there today. because on that last touchdown, them lights was bright in my eyes and hard to see. But, yeah, he's just like a bright spot when it comes down to it.
Caleb being that bright. Yeah, he said it a different way to Stacey Dales on NFL Network. He said he's the brightest thing on the field, even when the lights are bright. That's your teammate. That's the vet. Man, here's Caleb talking about the play.
We ended up having like a looper or a blitzer. I haven't obviously gone back and watched it yet. And he ended up breaking through, and I felt the edge. I could have got around, and I knew where the play was going. And so I wanted to go in that direction with Rome, and just didn't have enough time to be able to sit there and throw a ball in the pocket. And wanted to go in that direction because, you know, I saw the space before when I was dropping back. And so, I went in that direction. And honestly, just understand it's fourth down. I gotta put the ball in play. Rome went and made a great catch adjusting to the ball. I threw him upfield. I think 25 was trailing him. And so, put it upfield a little bit. It creates an awkward angle for him and makes it a little bit easier to catch for Rome.
So here's Rome talking about the throw from his perspective.
I mean, the best throw until he makes the next best throw, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can say that every week with this dude, man. He's a spectacular talent, super happy to be his teammate and watch him thrive out there. So, like he kind of said, we're not finished. We have more to accomplish, so excited to keep going with 18.
And then here's what you got to know is that Cole Kmet said this, but Kevin Byard says it as well. Here's Kevin Byard about that throw in Caleb in late games.
We're called the Cardiac Bears for a reason. I mean, Caleb did it again. The offense.
What do you make of the offensive job by Caleb Williams and that final touchdown to DJ Moore?
So I'll be calling the Iceman. He lives for these situations. To be down, to be able to make a play at the end of the game. I mean, he's just making things happen. I mean, the throw he made to Rome on the run, I mean, I wouldn't want nobody else to be my quarterback.
Want nobody else to be my quarterback. And Kevin Byard and Cole Kmet after the game both said that's when they knew they were going to win. That right there, when he makes the play on fourth and eighth, they're like, oh, okay, I get it now. We got a guy who's doing that. We are not dead. Our drive goes on. This is before the Zacchaeus touchdown that brings them closer and before the stop and before the DJ Moore touchdown that gives them the lead. When he gets the fourth and eighth, they're like, oh, all right, I get it. So they believe, man. They just believe.
There's no reason for them not to. He's done this six times before. Like, honestly, the part that scares you is don't count on that. And it'd be nice when the Bears get to a place where they're not counting on that. But the fact that you have one of those, that you have a guy that is a force multiplier and can put pressure on the defense because of all the things that he can do. And you mentioned all the different things that he did. What I've found interesting, and I'll go back and look at it over the next few days, is that when I'm watching Caleb now, the run element is still there, but I think that he's gotten to the place, he's gotten to the Russell Wilson place where it's, I'll run if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got to have it and I can get it, I'll go get it. But what I'm doing is I'm moving around to move you around. And once you move around and windows open up, then I'm going to make the throw.
That is 100% correct. And you remember early in the year when you and I would talk about, he always seems to do that orbit scramble, whether it's right or left, he would get away and then get all the way to the sideline and try to make something happen. Now he's doing the thing where he shuffles a little bit to one side. And then as soon as he sees the possibility, he throws it with touch while he's in the middle of the scramble. He's not like going to a spot and then seeing what he can do. That changes everything. That's more like what Lamar does. That's more like what Josh Allen does, what Mahomes does. He's looking more like those guys now, throwing from new platforms at a moment's notice.
And because he can generate torque, it changes the way that if you're a defender, it's like, okay, there aren't too many parts of the field, even on the run, that he can't hit. And so it forces you to do stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily do. It might force you to turn and run instead of playing in a space because you're like, you know what? He can make that shot. And now I have to go defend that shot that he's getting ready to take. And I've listened to defenders. Max Crosby has talked about it. Micah Parsons warned everybody on Twitter
It's almost like they should have had him down in the locker room. Because at halftime, he was like, hey, they're really good at coming back. So maybe, you know, finish the job. But for defenders, it's got to be so frustrating. And I think that the what we'll see defenders do, the ones that are close and it's hard to fight your instincts, don't try to block the pass. You've got to take a straight line to him and just try to get him. Because once you do the thing where you put your hands up, he's going to be like, oh, all right, and go around you and then make a throw that you've never seen before.
Matt LaFleur said after the game that he's a guy that's tough to contain. The whole plan was to try to especially eliminate his ability to go right. That's what he likes to do.
Congratulations. You sent him left and he made the throw of his life.
Correct. And don't forget that after that 4th and 8, they have a 3rd and 10 on the same drive. And he stayed super calm and checked it down. On 3rd and 10, he checked it down to Menungai, who turned around and ran for the first down. I mean, would he have gone for a check down on 3rd and 10 2.5 months ago? I don't think so. You remember all the negative plays that he used to make happen? I remember, Tanny, you remember when Tom Brady talked about like the one lesson that he got from Belichick? He's like, I think we played it in training camp.
Yeah.
Brady was on the Coward.
We played it during, you know, Justin Fields era, just any era of quarterback play around here.
Don't take a negative play. Just don't take a negative play. Keep the sticks moving. Don't get behind the sticks. And Caleb, again and again, in those three drives, you look at the play-by-play, 5 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, throwing it away, dirting the ball, did not take negative plays.
To speak to what you're saying about what he was 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, trust works both ways. He knows now that there are guys that can make plays for him. He's seen dump offs to Menungai go for 12 yards when they needed 6. He's seen DeAndre Swift turn dump offs into touchdowns. He's seen Colston Loveland turn some of those desperation plays into, you know, flash plays. Like, he's seen all of this stuff now. And so if you're Caleb, you're probably in a place finally as an NFL quarterback where you don't feel alone, where you can do all of the cool stuff and know that your guys are going to make plays to you. There's an elevation that's happening because of his ability.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And he got a game ball.
Yeah, how about that?
Not only did he get a game ball, he gave a long, somewhat awkward speech.
He's still learning that part of it.
It's
okay.
He's just quirky, man.
It's okay.
Of course it is. He's him. He's who he is.
Well, you saw him when he didn't know the cameras were rolling on the sideline when he was demanding accountability from his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, once he knew the cameras were on him in the locker room, it was a little different. So I care more about the real life guy, you know?
And I care about how the teammates take to him and how the coaches take to him.
And they probably know. They know that they're getting a guy that can lead and knows how to lead. But when it comes to the stuff that we romanticize and put in movies,
hey man,
he's still figuring that part of it out.
He's absolutely still figuring that part of it out. And he's just got what it takes. You read the Seth Wickersham book about Caleb, or about all the young quarterbacks that had the Caleb stuff. Seth Wickersham retweeted a page of his book. And it's worth finding the whole thing because it's talking about how Caleb was always a precocious, slow starter. So somebody who knows a lot, is clearly good, but is also a slow starter. So he gets in these positions where he's super young and he starts slow and you worry, and then he's great in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Going back to high school, when he's a sophomore in high school, they're down 20-0 in the state championship game. And he leads them all the way back and was brilliant in the fourth quarter. And this has always been who he is. That sometimes he'll start slow and he'll scare you and freak you out. And then late, he's just freaking money. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. This is a good time. And I know that we haven't officially turned the page, and nor will we for a few more days, but I'm so looking forward to Stafford, McVay, Ben, Caleb. That chess match between guys that are playing high-level football right now
and coaching high-level football right now.
Two of the three best play callers in the NFL. Those two in McVay. Those two in Shanahan. Is that the three best?
And look,
I think so.
I think Mike McDaniel, also great play caller, maybe doesn't have everything that he needs at the quarterback position. I am terrified of him.
In Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tough mix.
You give him Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jahmyr Gibbs.
And David Montgomery.
That's terrifying to me. But whatever, that's for September. We can talk about that later on in this thing. But watching these guys play and watching Matthew Stafford, who is just in, you talk about full space command.
Yeah.
Of quarterbacking.
Oh, yeah.
He's in full space command.
Any throw you want at any time from any spot.
Any angle. It's weird because he's stationary, but he's still doing all the arm angle stuff.
Yeah.
Wrapping the ball over, like the stuff that we see Caleb do, but he's doing it at, 6'4" and can't move.
It's one of Caleb's guys.
Of course it is.
Loves him.
Of course, like, Uskins, that's part of the reason that I'm so interested in this.
Sound like a guy who wants to turn the page. I don't know about you guys. I'm enjoying, this game. Lawrence just wants to move on.
I don't want to move on. I just know what awaits us on the next page. You know how, you choose your adventure? I'm like, yeah.
I heard his fingers bothering him a little bit, and it's cold. It's going to be really cold.
Yeah, he hit helmets a couple of times towards the end of that game.
I'd just let Garoppolo play if I was Matthew. I mean, you've had a great career. Let Jimmy get in there. Jimmy's new in town.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
Why not, Matthew? Leave
Seinfeld reference.
That's exactly right, Casper.